Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in our last week of our series called Luminous. Over the last month, we've talked all about being the light of the world throughout the Bible. We read time and time again how we are to live differently as Christians. And in one of Jesus' most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You are to be the light of the world, a light in the darkness," that we are to show God through everything that we do. We have looked at how we can be a light with the way that we love, how we are to be a light through the way that we serve, how we are to be the light through the way that we give. And then last week, we talked about being the light of the world through the way that we share the truth. And so this week, we're wrapping up this series with being the light of the world through the way that we lead. It's the way that we lead. Now, some people may be saying, "Great, I don't have to listen at all because I'm not a leader." Well, I hate to say this to you, but no matter who you are, no matter what you do, you lead in some way, shape, or form. Yes, there are people that are in positions that have more influence than you. There are people that have a lot of people looking at them to lead them. But it also goes down to the everyday as well. Where are you leading your family? Where are you leading your friends? Do you push people one way or the other that you're saying, "Hey, I think you should do this. This is right. This is wrong." What kind of influence are you having on the people around you? Now, I know some people are saying, "Well, you know what? I don't see people at all." Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm sure that you interact with another human at least once a week because you're probably sitting right here right now. And if you're sitting right here, that means there are people around you, okay? And if you think there are not people around you, just take half a second and look left and right. There are some people around you, which means that you have some sort of influence. When you talk to somebody, you have some sort of influence and you're leading them. And the reason that I'm saying this is because I want everybody to know that you are leading people towards something. You have to admit that piece, first and foremost. You have to know you are a leader in some way. Now, most of the times, we lead people towards the things that we like, and we try to influence others to stay away from the things that we don't like. So I'm going to say something a little controversial. I didn't realize how controversial this would be, but the first service gave me some looks and faces, and I'm going to let you know that I think ice cream is gross. I don't like it. It's not my... People are whispering, and I said this in first service. I'm going to say it again. I know there are some diehard ice cream fans out there. Please do not come see me in the parking lot afterwards. I'm sorry if I have offended you, but we have donuts, okay? So I just want to squash that right now. But no, the truth is, I do not like ice cream. I don't know, just the flavor, it's cold, it's not great. I want a cake, I want a brownie, it's just who I am as a person. And I don't like ice cream. When people ask me, "So what should I have?" I'm not going to steer them towards ice cream. I'm just not. I'm going to steer them towards the things that I like. And I'm even going to say, "Yeah, it's not very good, you don't want it, and it's not something that is something that you need in your life anyways." And so when it comes down to it, what am I doing? I'm leading people away from ice cream. I'm leading them towards the things that I like. And that's what we do. We influence people in different ways. And we think, well, that's not really leading, but it is. It's not just tactical military leaders. It's not just political parties. It's not just people that you voted into positions here at the church. This is dealing specifically with you. And now that we've established that we are all leading in a direction, you have to ask two very important questions. We have to ask, where are we leading them, and how are we supposed to lead them? And so we're going to go ahead and turn to John 10, John 10, verses 11 through 18. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now, one thing we need to talk about is, what is a shepherd? For some reason, most people will hear the name shepherd or the word shepherd, and they like to think of little kids. I don't know if it's like a Christmas thing where you had the shepherds that were out there tending the fields, and there were always some kid with a tiny little staff, you know, and they're looking at beautiful stars. And if you're really thinking about, they have to protect the herd. As soon as things get dicey, we're not expecting this 6-year-old with a stick to go ahead and fight off a wolf. They're going to be running home and they're going to say, please help, Papa. I need help. We're the sheep. What are we going to do? But that's not really what a shepherd is. That's our thought process of what a shepherd is. In all honesty, shepherds were tough. Shepherds had to really know what they were doing. If you don't know, David, when he fought Goliath, he was a boy and he was a shepherd and he was amazing with a sling and a stone. He took out a giant with just a sling and a stone. Yes, it was God, but he also had to know how to defend himself, how to defend the sheep. So when it comes down to a shepherd is a protector. A shepherd is a watcher. A shepherd is an overseer. And that shepherd will do anything to save their flock. This is something that people of the time, they would have understood this. But they also would have understood sheep. Now we're going to talk a little bit about sheep, and I hate to say it, but sheep are not the smartest animal, flat out. When it comes down to it, yes, they're adorable. Yes, they are fluffy. Yes, they are cute, but they are dumb, okay? That's just the way it is. They get lost very easily. They get hurt very often. And they make horrible decisions when they're left on their own. And they follow other sheep, even if it means to their death. This is just the truth that everyone would understood at that time. They'd have been like, yes, sheep are dumb. Uh-huh. Yes, they are wonderful creatures, but they make poor decisions. And so here Jesus is comparing himself to a shepherd, and he says, I'm not just a shepherd, I am the good shepherd. He's saying that I am the only shepherd that matters. I am the one that will see it through to the end. He knows his sheep personally, he says. He says, I want you to know that I know them more than you understand. Now, when you read this word, you could say, yeah, he knows that they're sheep. Yes, we know sheep exist. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus is saying, no, I know them on a personal level. I know their demeanor. I know their names. I know the weird things that they do and the quirks that they have. He says, I know everything about them, and they know me. And since we know that he is the shepherd, we are the sheep. We are the dumb ones. We are the ones that are leading ourselves off a cliff. And what happens? Others will follow. They will go with you. And they won't even ask questions half the time. You'll just say, hey, I'm going this way. And they're like, great. And it's just leading to a path of destruction. If you look at it as we are sheep, when we lose sight of the shepherd, and we lose sight of the path that God has laid, what do? We panic. We freak out and go, I don't know what's happening here. We cry out. We say, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I am lost. We can be scared. We can truly hurt ourselves in so many different ways. We are the sheep. But what is so amazing is that we don't just have a shepherd. We have the good shepherd. We have God as our guidance. We have Jesus to find us when we're lost. We have Jesus to love us, to lead us, to teach us, to protect us. He shows us where to go. And then when we get in these tough spots and we cry out to Him, guess what? He's there. It's because He is the good shepherd. And right there in verse 11, Jesus says how far He would actually go for us. He said, I'm going to lay my life down for the sheep. Now, hindsight for us is 20/20. Because at the time, when He's talking about sheep and how He's the shepherd and how He's going to lay His life down, they're probably going, what are you talking about? Like, this is a cool story, but what do you mean? But for us, we can look back because we have the whole Bible here and we know, yeah, that's exactly what He does. He lays His life down for all of us. And I love verse 12 so much because it points to the other side. It points to the hired hand, the guy that we have put in charge to take care of the flock. As soon as things get tough and scary, it says the hired hand runs away. Here He was talking about the leaders of the Israelites, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and anyone who's leading the people. As soon as things get rough, what do? They abandon the people. They turn on them. They run away. But Jesus says it again in verse 14. He says, I understand, don't follow the hired hand. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says He knows us by name and that He will lay His life down for the sheep. And then verse 16, Jesus is expanding everything He's talking about in their understanding. And Jesus says, but this is for all who want to know. He says, I'm the shepherd, but not just for the sheep that are the Israelites. This will also be for the non-Jews. This will be for the Gentiles. And He says, I must bring them also. They too will listen to My voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And if you're asking, what does it have to do with me? Everything. This is great news for us, because that means He is leading everyone. He is loving all people. It's not just the Israelites. It's every single person that lives on this earth. He says, I am your shepherd and you are My sheep. But when we look at verse 18, this really shows us also something about Jesus. Jesus flat out says, no one, not a single person, takes it from Me. Jesus is telling them, you're not going to take My life. It's not that you trapped me and it's not that I didn't know what was going to happen and I didn't choose this. No, Jesus says, I know all too well what's going on. He says, I know exactly what's happening and I'm going to choose it. And we know this all too well because when we try to follow other people, what do? They can lead us astray. What happens is they can stab us in the back. People that we love and trust that we're like, yeah, you were My person. What happened here? People leave you. And Jesus says here, I'm going to lay My life down. I'm going to choose this thing for you. Jesus flat out says, I am God and I have the choice and power over life and death. Follow Me because I'm choosing to die for you. And this is exactly what He meant when He said, I have the authority to lay it down. And we sit there and go, wow, He even gets to choose whether or not He wants to die. That's power. And then He says, by the way, I want you to know, I may choose to die, but guess what? I have the choice to take it up again. And you're, what? I will die for you. Don't worry, I'll be back. Not something most of us are going to say. When we are going to sacrifice ourselves for someone else, you're not like, I'll see you later, you know, I'll be back. Give me 3 days. It'll be cool. It's going to be awesome. No, we can't do that. And Jesus is flat out saying, I'm going to lay My life down for you, which I've chosen. And guess what? I'm going to pick it back up again right where I left off for you as well. So what are we learning from these verses about leading? It's that when we lead people in any way, shape, or form, lead them to the Good Shepherd. He's the perfect leader. He is the perfect shepherd. And He loves us all individually. He will protect us. When we run away He will chase us down. When we get into a bad spot and cry out to Him, He will come and rescue us. And then ultimately, Jesus will lay down His life for us to save us. And as followers of Christ, that is the most simple truth that binds all of us together here. We all have sinned and fall short of what God wants for us and from us. Flat out, we're all sinners. We've done wrong against God. And there is a cost for your sins, and that is death. It is separation from God. But Jesus was born here. He was fully human, He was fully God, and He chose to lay down His life to pay the price for our sins, all of them. And He did it all on the cross. That's what He's talking about here. No matter who you deal with in this life, lead them to God. There are many things that we want to lead people towards, and it's not a good thing. And you may be saying, well, I always lead people towards God. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's some sayings that I was going over, some very popular sayings that we have heard is where we're leading people as a whole. And so I'm going to go over a few. First one is, well, you got to do what's right for you. Where are you leading them when you tell people these things? Well, if you just try hard enough, you can achieve anything. I'm pretty sure I know that's not true. So where are you leading them? This next one, I'll try not to laugh, but if you're good to others, they will be good to you. I don't know why it's so funny to me, but like there are some people that are super naive that are like, I'm just being nice, so everybody will be nice. And come here, you're going to get crushed by the world, okay? Come on over here. But that's a saying that's being said. Well, what you should do is you should live this life for your family and comforts. You only get one life to live. There are many ways to God. I've heard that many times. Where are you leading them? And then this is the last one, that true joy is only found inside yourself. These are all lies. And these are things that many people believe. And if you're not a follower of Christ, when you hear some of these things, you can go, well, that doesn't seem like bad advice. Because, yeah, we're trying to find joy and we're trying to make this life work and we're supposed to enjoy our family. But what are you doing? Is you're leading them down a path that will never satisfy. You're leading them to a place that they'll never be fulfilled. And this is why everything that we do as followers of Christ, they have to point to Jesus. That way people are not lacking. Lead people to Him completely. Because when you do, that is what will change their lives. So the question comes, how can we replicate this in our lives? And what does this look like? So we're going to go a couple chapter over to John 13. John 13, verses 1 through 17. It's a huge chunk of verses. We're going to read them all, and then we're going to talk about exactly what's happening here. John 13, 1 through 17. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." So what we have here is Jesus is celebrating the Passover with the people that he loves. Things are about to go down, and Jesus knows it. He knows that one of his disciples, Judas, is going to betray him. He knows that he's going to die. In verse 3, Jesus knows something else, that God the Father had put everything under his power. That means that Jesus knows he could do anything. He is Lord of lords, he is King of kings, and he is all powerful. And with that being said, knowing this, he knows that God had sent him, and he knows that he's going to be with God soon. And so one of his last acts Jesus does, he could have done anything, but one of the last things that he does is he sets an example for the disciples. Jesus takes the role of a servant. He lowers himself to serve in one of the lowest ways possible, and that is by washing people's feet. A lot of people do not like feet. Right? If I were to tell you, hey, you're going to wash someone's feet, they're going to go, oh no, I don't want to do that. But now imagine, these are feet that are walked on for traveling anywhere you want to go. So they walked miles and miles through dirt, sand, mud, all of it. And then they're coming into a home after their travels, and you have to wash those feet, and they wore sandals. So it's not clean, all right? These feet are not like, oh man, you really got great feet. No, it's gross. And what Jesus does here, he shows them that he's willing to serve them completely. I have personally washed a few feet in my time. I've done it here before, and I've done it in college, and I've done it at another church. It is truly a humbling experience. For the person serving and washing the feet, it's one of those things where you're saying, I'm not better than you. Actually, if anything, I'm humbly coming to you and I'm going to wash your feet and show that I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. And it doesn't matter who they are and what they've done. You're saying, I want to be like Jesus. But also you have to know for the person that is getting their feet washed, which I've had that done as well, to have someone do something in service like this to wash your feet, it can stir up all kinds of feelings inside of you. You're sitting there while somebody is down on their knees and they're touching your gross feet and you're going, what is happening here? And they're just saying, I want to love you and serve you the way that Jesus does. And then Jesus explains it to them. This is not a bath. It's not to get off dirt. Yes, that's a great, wonderful thing that your feet are now clean, but that's not what we're doing here. Jesus says it's all about being clean inside. It's about being humble. It's about serving. And Jesus is saying, I came to serve, and I'm going to do it by leading through service. Verse 13, Jesus says to them, you call me teacher. He says, you call me Lord. And he doesn't like write him off and say, well, that's wrong. No, he says, you're right. I am teacher. You're right. I am Lord. And Jesus is saying, look, as Lord of all, Jesus flat out says, look what I'm doing for you. I've come to serve all of us. And that is when Jesus says to his disciples in verse 14 and 15, now guess what? You should wash one another's feet. And Jesus has set the example of what this looks like and why we should do it. And verse 16 and 17 is what will help us. We've seen how Jesus is serving. Now let us serve like he has served us. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying you need to go and wash everyone's feet physically. Okay, that's not exactly what it is. But if God is calling you and you feel this pull to go and wash someone's feet, go and talk to them and tell them and say, hey, I feel that I need to do this for you. Are you willing? But it's so much more than that. It's all about where's your heart? Are you saying, you know what? I am a servant of the Lord and I want to serve you. Why? So I can show you to the Good Shepherd. So I can show you who He is. So I can show you how good He is. Lay it out for them. Lead people through love and truth. Over the last 5 weeks, we've talked all about how we are to be the light of the world. And this one wraps it all into one. Lead people with love, the way that God loves. Lead people through serving, the way that God serves. Lead them in how you give, the way that God gives. And lead them by sharing the truth about God. And then verse 17 says this, now that you know this, now that you know what Jesus is asking from us, when you do these things, you'll be blessed. Now, I hate to break it to you, anybody sitting here, anybody that listens on the radio, anybody watching live, you no longer can claim ignorance. I just taught you and showed you what this is saying. And so you have an opportunity. You have a choice. And it says, if you do these things, now that you know, if you do these things, you will be blessed. And it's not about financial blessings. Even though if that's what God wants to bless you with, He can. But that's not where our mind should go. He's actually telling us that He's going to give us amazing blessings that are so much more than money. He's going to give us peace. He's going to give us comfort. He'll give you joy. He'll give you an understanding that only comes from God. And that's what we long for. Those are the blessings that we need to make it through this world and follow Him and lead others to Him. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. Because you are leading people. You have to start asking, where are you leading them to? How are you leading them? It has been 5 weeks, and all of this can be summed up with, be like Jesus. Live your life as He did. And when you do, you will be the light of the world. And when we are being the light of the world, that means the darkness is fading. I love to say it whenever we have a baptism, hell lost another one. And I want to say it every single day. And as a church, we can. What do we have to do? Lead like Jesus.
We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.